Over the last month, we have been considering our walks as followers of Jesus Christ. God affirms us as God's good and beloved children. God invites us to the center of our own brokenness, where we seek the missions God yearns for us to pursue. We trudge with Jesus to the cross and find those missions where the two planks meet, at the intersection of the world's need and our passions. So what happens when we engage those missions on a personal level? What happens when we join together to accomplish those missions on a larger scale? What happens when we partner with God to bring God's healing and reconciliation to this world? The answer is our fourth word. The answer is confrontation. The world fights back. Those who profit from the status quo fight back. The spiritual uncleanness that festers in the dank recesses of everyone's heart fights back. Here's a recent example from a part of the world most of my generation participates in. That is in video games. Now, before you scoff it off as kids' stuff, know that in the United States, the video game industry now pulls in more revenue than the film industry. In the last 6 months, many brave women have started speaking out about the truly disgusting way women are sexualized and sometimes brutalized in video games, as well as about the utter lack of women working in the tech industry in general. While there has been good, positive reaction to this burgeoning discussion, the bulk of the reaction that has been grabbing headlines is negative. Grossly negative. Horribly negative. A subgroup of truly vicious male gamers has taken upon itself to lash out at these women in the most demeaning and degrading ways. Death threats, rape threats, constant harassment, hounding on social media with language that makes me sick to my stomach, and even disclosure online of the women's home addresses and telephone numbers to make them fear for their safety. These brave women and their many male allies have a mission: to alter an industry badly in need of change, to make it safer for men and women alike. And they are even now confronting a demonic piece of that industry, which seeks to terrorize them into submission. I use the word demonic here on purpose. Whenever we engage in the missions God has invited us to pursue, demonic forces, both interior and exterior to ourselves, confront us and try to dissuade us by any means necessary from following through. Just look at today's gospel lesson. We aren't even done with the first chapter of Mark. Jesus has barely begun his mission, and already he confronts an unclean spirit. The unclean spirit seeks to expose who Jesus is before Jesus is ready to do so for himself. But Jesus rebukes the spirit, silences it, and drags it kicking and screaming from its victim. And this confrontation typifies Jesus' ministry. In each encounter, Jesus confronts something that stands in the way of people being reconciled to God and to each other. And in each encounter, Jesus conquers, though not always in the ways we might expect. Now, I know that dismissing this kind of biblical story is easy in our day and age. We look to psychology for a comfortable, modern lens with which to interpret unclean spirits. Demonic possession belongs to horror films and to fantasy worlds populated by vampires, zombies, and werewolves. But for all the science and science fiction that we can use to explain away stories like today's gospel, the fact of the matter remains that we ourselves and the world at large are afflicted by spiritual uncleanness. We have voices inside us that coerce and cajole us away from the missions God sets before us. Demonic voices like apathy, lethargy, fear, greed, dominance. Society has these same voices. And in society, these voices are bankrolled. To these many voices, Jesus says, "Be silent and come out of him. Be silent so we can hear the deeper, more constant voice of Christ propelling us away from these unclean voices. Heeding the voice of Christ amongst the clatter within prepares us to confront these same unclean voices in their entrenched forms in society. A week and a half ago, I was blessed to listen to Dr. Cornel West's keynote address to the Trinity Institute, which we webcast here at St. Mark's. Quoting the great W.E.B. Du Bois, Dr. West offered four questions that always surface when good people confront the entrenched demons of society. Number one, how shall integrity face oppression? Number two, what does honesty do in the face of deception? Number three, what does decency do in the face of insult? And number four, how does virtue meet brute force? With these questions, Cornel West outlines the confrontation that we people striving to follow Jesus Christ encounter. Being part of God's mission of healing and reconciliation means choosing, as often as we can in our brokenness, the first option in each of these questions. How do we confront oppression? By exhibiting enough integrity to stand with the oppressed, especially when it is inconvenient or unpopular. How do we confront deception? By holding steadfastly to the truth, especially when it gets mangled by extremism. How do we confront insult? By nurturing the dignity of all people, especially when injustice has strangled any notion of decency from the equation. And how do we confront brute force? By not submitting to it all that is good and virtuous about us, by not fighting fire with fire. Remember the ultimate confrontation in which our Savior defeated each of these demonic forces. Jesus took all the oppression, deception, insult, and brute force the world could muster with him to the cross. And in his resurrection, he exposed them for what they are, a sham. Whenever we are seduced by the demonic voices within, we are falling victim to all that is counterfeit about our fallen world. Whenever we side with the entrenched injustice of society, we perpetuate the fraudulent narrative the world loves to tell. Confronting this narrative with the true one that God continues to tell takes all the integrity, honesty, decency, and virtue we can muster, and more. Confronting this narrative takes embracing the love of God and letting it shine through us to bring light to everything that would prefer to stay in darkness. That's why we confess our sins every single week. We don't do it because of our individual personal sins, though those are subsumed into the act of confession. No, we confess every week as a sort of inoculation against the demonic voices that seduce us away from God's mission. we confess every week to remember that God calls us to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. We confess every week to announce to ourselves and to each other that we are willing and with God's help ready and able to confront the entrenched sins of the world. When we joined up with Jesus, this is what we signed on for. This was his mission, and he continues it through us. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I think it's too big. I quiver in fear. I find myself rigid with spiritual lethargy. I start to give in to the coercing and cajoling voices that seek to muzzle my witness. When this happens to you, remember that you are walking with Jesus and hear his voice rise over the clatter and say, "Be silent," and come out of him. Amen.